Welcome back. 993 Nigeria Info came on. It is after we've left courtside. And yes, we are about to go into the mix of things right now as I speak with you guys, listening to the sound of my voice. Barcelona about to take on Girona in a Monday Night Football right there at the Spotify Camp Nou. And of course, you already know Barcelona are leading the standings when you talk about the teams in the La Liga. Well, you already know that. Well, if you don't know, they will go 15 points clear if they win this game, as they already hold a 12-point lead. Welcome, Overdose, right here on the show this evening. And I have Adese Michael, who joins Game On this wonderful evening. Ada, good to have you. Good evening to you.
Hi, Govados. Good evening. Good evening, Lagos. It's Game On time.
All right. Brown, welcome aboard.
It's about to be lit.
Yeah.
You know, litty. It's about to be litty, fam. But it's a great evening. Hopefully, we can dissect everything that we're going to be able to talk about and have fun while doing it. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. Have fun while doing it. We will come to, you know, what Ian Wright had to say about Chelsea. But then again, let's start things off looking at what transpired, especially in the weekend or over the weekend. And I'm also going to be finding out from you what you make of our Nigerian players. Why is it that when they play for their club sides, they tend to do quite well? And I'm saying this on the backdrop of Samuel Chukwueze's man of the match performance against Real Madrid. The man played, he didn't just play, he scored two well-taken goals against Real Madrid as Villarreal beat Real Madrid by 3-2 at the Bernabeu. And this man was the man of the match. I mean, his winning goal was something out of this world. But then again, when you look at his performance in the national team, and not just him, our Nigerian players who ply their trade abroad, whenever they come to the national team, they tend not to replicate the same performance. I want to find out from you why that is the case. Why do you think that they do well for their club sides, but then coming to the national team, they struggle? But before then, Liverpool struck late through Roberto Firmino to equalize 2-2 and blew the Premier League title race wide open as Arsenal tossed away a 2-goal lead to waste their chance of a remarkable win at Anfield. Goals from Gabriel Martinelli and Gabriel Jesus send the Gunners 2 ahead inside 28 minutes before Mohamed Salah struck for Liverpool shortly before the break. He missed a penalty that should also be taken into consideration. He missed the penalty, and for Jurgen Klopp, the man says that his side looked more ready to fight back as they were hungry to at least get something from that game. Let's take a listen to Jurgen Klopp.
The question I had in my mind when I walked in after the game was, how can we not win this game? But we didn't. So it's a point, and that's okay.
Yeah, they did not win the game. It was a point, and the point was shared. But again, you have to ask. You have to ask, why did Arsenal drop points? But the question I'm asking, do Arsenal still have the EPL title destiny in their hands following that draw to, of course, Liverpool yesterday at Anfield? Do they still have the title destiny in their hands as Arsenal make the title push towards the end of the campaign? 8 more games to go. Do they still have it in their hands? Or you feel Man City will definitely play catch up and, you know, just take the title away from them? And what's your thoughts? Do they still have the destiny in their hands, Arsenal?
Yes, they do. They have 6 points. Mm. And that is quite massive going into the remaining 9 fixtures. We've seen them bounce back from adversities. They were beating 3-1 at home against Manchester City. Mm. And then we felt they were going to fold like a pack of cards. But they had to, you know, regroup and had this 7-game winning streak. Once again, underlying and submitting their credentials to be the new champions of England. But it was always going to be a tough test for them at Anfield, given the fact that they hadn't won there since over 11 years. And if you look at the remaining fixtures, you will say that it's quite difficult for them. They have some very tricky away fixtures to navigate, because whatever we're looking at now, we're not looking at what they've achieved before. We're looking at going forward. Arsenal, I think for them, it feels like it was a 2-point loss in that game yesterday. But the fixtures ahead is where everybody's going to test them. They have the away fixture at Etihad. They have to go to St. James's Park. And Newcastle have just woken up from slumber. Newcastle have found form when they need it most. And it was on the same ground last year that they blew away their title, their Champions League quest. So they have it in their hands. And Manchester City themselves are also high-flying, because I think it's a two-horse race now. It's official. Man City are high-flying. They're also picking up maximum points. They've scored 10 goals in their last three games. That is a hallmark of, you know, a team that is quite devastating.
Mm.
But 6 points looks... Can they win the remaining of their games now, Arsenal? They're in the driving seat, no doubt about that. Can they win the remaining of their games? And even if Manchester City win all of their games, that's none of their business. But the remaining fixtures now, can they win it? They have West Ham away this weekend. And they have they have Southampton, they have City at the Etihad, I mentioned. They also play Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Although you say that they can beat Chelsea at the Emirates, because Chelsea are not Chelsea these days.
Mm.
And they have Newcastle. So I think the tricky fixture they have is that City and Newcastle away. Okay. The remaining of the fixture, they've got Brighton as well. So I think they're in the driving seat, but tricky fixtures are ahead for them. It means that if they capitulate, they're going to get into trouble. But it's their mentality that is their biggest factor.
Mm.
Their ability to bounce back when it is difficult, and they've got almost everyone fit now. Gabriel Jesus is back, surging them on with his experience and presence. And Mikel Arteta has done something really good. It's about that belief. It's about the confidence he's instilled in the players that they can go all out, you know, and get something. So I think for me, they're still in the driving seat.
They are still in the driving seat. Well, they have 8 more games to go. Talking about Arsenal, 73 points plus 43 goal difference. They take on West Ham in their next game away from home, then Southampton at home, and then Man City away, and then Chelsea also at home, then Newcastle away, Brighton at home, Nottingham Forest away, and the final game will be versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. For Man City, have Leicester in their next game. They have 67 points and a plus 48 goal difference. Their next game after the Leicester game at home, it's an away trip to Brighton. Then they take on Arsenal. And then that is, of course, the fixture a whole lot of people are looking forward to. Then they also have Fulham away, West Ham at home, Leeds United at home, Everton away, Chelsea at home, and Brentford away. Before I get the thoughts of Brownish, let's hear from the Arsenal manager, Mikel Arteta, after that draw yesterday.
Very intense match. We started the game exceptionally well, dominated it, took the game where we wanted. Scored the first one, continued to play the way we wanted to score the second one, and that was the moment to kill the game. And just before halftime, we gave them hope. We conceded the goal, and they generated some belief in this special atmosphere and stadium. And the second half was a very different story. Not the way we started, because I think we started really well the first few minutes, but then we didn't continue to play. We gave every single ball away, especially in very dangerous areas when you allowed open spaces and big transition moments against the best team in the world doing that. And when that happens, it's chaos, it's a lot of balls in your box, it's difficult to get out of those situations, and then you have to suffer. And we rely on big defensive moments where Aaron took a big part of it, and they missed the penalty, and then we could have nicked the game, because we have three huge situations on the counter that they are overloaded, or we are 2-2, and we miss as well that ruthlessness to take the game. So looking at the two halves, probably it's a fair result, and you have to take it, and the big lesson is play the way we play the first half.
Play the way we play the first half. Mikel Arteta's summation after that 2-2 draw. Brown, do they still have their destiny in their hands, Arsenal?
No, they don't.
Mm.
Right now, their destiny is in City's hands.
Mm.
And this is exactly what happened last season. We saw last season that going to the UEFA Champions League was between themselves and Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah.
And they went and sort of bottled it, you know, against, I think, Newcastle it was. They lost to Spurs and then went on to eventually not get the win against Newcastle. So it turned out that it was no longer in their hands, and Spurs got the job done to the end of the season. And that's the problem. When you're playing at the highest level of club football, you can't be expecting fortuitous circumstances to work in your benefit, right? And basically right now, all City have to do, which is something they can actually do, is win all of their remaining 10 games, because they have one in hand.
Yeah, but then one in hand, it's 9. 8 fixtures remaining plus the one in hand, that's 9.
Are you sure? I'll confirm. Anyway, okay. But yeah, all
I give it to you. Leicester, Brighton, Arsenal, Fulham, West Ham, Leeds, Everton, Chelsea, and Brentford. That's 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Arsenal have eight.
So their remaining fixtures, basically. So it's, for me, I personally feel like it's, right now, it's down to whether City can or can't, you know, get the job done. So it, regardless of what Arsenal do, as long as City can get beyond them and win their own, if they win all their games,
yes,
which is something that we know City can do. City can put up
They've
a run of
this
9
situation before.
Time and time and time again, right? So it just seems very, it seems very bad, because at some point they had an 8-point lead, you know, sometimes I think it was a bit more sometimes, but the fact is City have kept the pressure on, and Arsenal didn't get the job done against Liverpool when they were 2 goals up. There were multiple opportunities to extend that lead, even towards the end of the game, right? We saw opportunities for them to completely shut down the game and kill it off, and they just didn't take it. And I feel like maybe that's something that's been lacking in their game. Maybe that's that ability to hold on to leads against some of the strongest opposition that they're going to face. It, maybe that's something that's lacking. Right now, I'm not saying that they're not going to win it. I'm just saying it's not in their hands anymore.
All right.
It's literally in City's hands, if, because City have the superior goal difference.
They have the superior goal difference. Brown says it's in City's hands. Adda says it's in Arsenal's hands. What say you? 0700-993-993-993. That's for the men. For the ladies, 01465-7190. And don't forget WhatsApp. Yeah, 080-9597-5805 is the number to send your messages. I'll read as many as I can and let the fans know what you are thinking. Let's go to the phone lines now. Hello, good evening.
Well, hello, good evening, Diesel.
Yeah, good evening, Friday.
Good evening, Adeze Abrani.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, Adeze, it's no longer in Arsenal hand, though. Because, see, the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, this will always laugh when people say that Champions League and every competition will distract Man City. Dizzo, if you leave all this trophy, why is it that some club always win a treble? Mario had done it before, time without number. When we even had strong opposition in the league, very big opposition. Barcelona won 3 trophy in a season. We didn't say Guardiola. When Real Madrid was there, Mourinho was there, Ronaldo was there, the best players in the world. They were in that Real Madrid. And Barcelona won the 3 trophy in a season. For people say that Arsenal, because they are now concentrate on only the league, that will give them the advantage. They played Liverpool yesterday. Is Liverpool in any other competition again apart from the league? The Newcastle they are going to play. Is Newcastle in any other competition apart from the league? All the Chelsea they are going to play. So for me, it's no longer in Arsenal hand. Liverpool just take it away from them yesterday.
All
because
right.
Arteta pressed the panic button. That is what our guy does to the master. Look at my coach now. He removed a midfielder and brought a striker. What did Arteta do?
All right. What did Arteta do? I have to let you go, Friday. So many people want to contribute. Hello. Hello.
Hello, good evening, Evados.
Yes,
good evening, Evados.
Yeah, good evening. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Etim Godwin. Good evening to Brannies and Adeze Michael.
Good evening, Etim Godwin.
If you ask me, they always find a way to put themselves in any kind of situation. Because I can remember there was a season ago, that time I think we saw Mr. Alex Ferguson. So after I was leading Man U, I think with more than 8 points, I think with some few games left to go. So Man U were able to recover, you know, then climb the league, and then finish above Arsenal with so many. But Arsenal were able to finish, I think, around fourth position that season. So Arsenal always find a way to bottle it at the end. So I believe that this, actually play it into Guardiola hand now. So
all right,
the title now is all Pep to lose, because I believe Pep will win this many 9 matches and then topple Arsenal and then win the league. So
all
that's
right, he will topple Arsenal. Thank you so much. Another call. Hello, good evening.
Hello, Babu.
Hi, good evening to you. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning.
Yeah.
All right. So, you see, I watched the match yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I really beat Arteta.
Okay.
Why didn't you move Gabriel Jesus? Gabriel Jesus is almost like a defender. He will go to the back, struggle with the ball, defend, and then even score. You don't remove players. That, look at Liverpool. That's why Liverpool is stopping, because Mane was that kind of a player. Mane would struggle with the ball, go to the back, defend. I mean, he was just an off.
Can
that
I say something?
The kind of mentality Gabriel Jesus has. He removed him.
Okay.
But even lucky to get a bit more. Let's not try that again. Let's keep Gabriel Jesus in the match. To get better.
All right. Thank you very much, Brown. You wanted to actually make a point.
Yeah. So for me, I don't think them taking off Gabriel Jesus was a bad problem. Here's the thing, right? So for Gabriel Jesus, we saw that he was going back. He was coming back a lot to help out. What people did not notice was when they won the ball at the back, and he transitioned the ball moving forward, he no longer had the strength to join the attack. And more often than not, Arsenal were outnumbered even when they were on a counter-attack.
Especially in the second half.
I'm talking about towards the latter stages of the second half, where Gabriel Jesus was lurking in and around the center circle. You would notice that he would win the ball back from maybe a corner, or maybe when Liverpool have carried an attack, and then he win the ball back, do fantastic, lay it off to Martinelli. And Martinelli has turbos in his legs. So Martinelli would be running up with the ball. Saka on the other side would be running up as well. There would be three Liverpool defenders and only two attacking players for Arsenal, because Gabriel Jesus just couldn't keep up because he was tired. He had put in a greater shift than any other Arsenal player moving into that while they were in that game. So I can understand where Arteta was coming from. This is a player that is just coming back from injuries, man. You want to make him play 90 minutes in that kind of high octane game when you needed to defend, and you just needed, they needed Trossard to just come and do what he did. Come, hold the ball up front as long as you can. That's literally all they needed him to do. Gabriel Jesus couldn't do that any longer. So don't really like bash Mikel Arteta for doing that a bit, because I mean, sometimes you have to save players from themselves even if they don't want to come out.
All another right. Disastrous decision will have to be hauling off Martin Odegaard.
I'm bringing in Kiwio. I wondered.
That is, he's been stretched mentally. The pressure is getting on him. That is the coach himself. And when the pressure is on the touchline, he's pressed like a flu to what the guys do. Whatever, no matter how you want to, I'm usually not the one that wants to blame coaches, because number one, I'm not a coach. I'm not even a footballer. When the results go south, they go south. But you know, football fans, they are quite fickle. When the results are going well, everyone is singing Arteta's praise. Oh, how he's done well. However, there's some glaring errors that managers can make, and then you know that it's their fault. There was no reason to get off Martin Odegaard. He's the Arsenal's talismanic figure. And when he was substituted, they had to consider a goal. And then he sat on, he's like, what the hell? What has happened? He didn't have any injury record. He didn't have any form issue.
Some will say it's the Zinchenko mistake that led to the goal. Because Zinchenko actually was not made by Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Okay, now, apart from that particular scenario, do you know the counter-attack that Bukayo Saka was laboring for help during the closing stage of that game? Imagine that you had a Martin Odegaard in support of Saka when he was trying to play around Liverpool defenders. You don't take off your talismanic figure. He didn't have any injury record. There was no yellow card incident. You just took him off. I mean, that was a big mistake. He's a talismanic figure, because that game was open. Liverpool also went south. They were in desperate hunt for, you know, that goal, and then the counter-attacking opportunity, you know, came. Imagine that was Odegaard in the center circle helping Saka retain the ball, and then all those final balls, Arsenal could have won the game.
All right, Arsenal would have won the game. Why take out Martin Odegaard? Well, this man right here feels that Arsenal have bottled it. Ima from Warri on WhatsApp says, good evening, guys. Arsenal have bottled it. Man City will definitely win the league. Ima from Warri. Femi and the gang, all your pundits are saying, never say never. United lost there, City lost there, Newcastle lost there, so the league wide open, not for City alone. City has never won 10 straight games. All right, thank you so much, but avoid using curse words. Yeah, I mean, You don't have to do that to pass your point across. Good evening, Femi and the gang. The title is still Arsenal's to lose, but looking at both City and Arsenal's remaining fixtures, City have easier matches to play. Regardless, Arsenal will win the EPL. Ayo from Abulegba sends that one. Good evening, Overdose. This EPL title is not in the hands of Arsenal because of City's goal difference and game in hand. All right, thank you. Okay, there's no one there. Let's go to this young one. Hello.
Yeah, Dizu, I greet you.
I greet you too. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Baba G, calling from Badagry.
All right, Baba G from Badagry, go on.
Yeah, let me agree with Adizu.
All right.
The Odiga you remove, if you had removed Ole Gibre Dizu because of the injury, that is okay. You don't need to look that panic situation. I think Atata should stop it. If I were Atata, we will allow all of them to finish the game. Or you do changes 91 minutes just to kill the game. Because the momentum, you don't need to stop the momentum, you know. But the damage has been done. But let nobody tell you that Man City will win all the games. Why is it we have a popular saying, this is football? Anything can happen. You can go back, Dizzo. Small team has beat Man City before. Why is it everybody has become a prophet that the remaining nine matches, Man City will beat? Let's watch Champions League and see what will happen from there. You will see what Tuchel will do, Man City. You will see what will happen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Another call coming through. Hello. Hello. Good evening. All right. No one's there. Brown?
Yeah. So... yes, that's the problem. That's the conversation that we're having, right? So he said, oh, small teams have beaten Man City before. Why is everybody suddenly becoming the prophet of Man City
winning all their games?
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's the conversation that we're having. If Arsenal had beaten Liverpool yesterday, the conversation wouldn't be that, oh, teams can still beat Man City. The conversation would be that all Arsenal have to do is win all their games. So,
which is not possible.
Which, no, but like, if we're just having a conversation.
To win nine games, straight wins.
If we're having a conversation, right? If we're having a conversation, just for the sake of conversation, we could say that if they had won yesterday, the conversation that we'd be having now is Arsenal don't even need a team to beat City. That Arsenal just need to win all their games. They need to not draw points
and get a draw at the Etihad.
And get a draw at the Etihad. Do you get what I mean? That's what their fate being in their hands means. Right now, you're relying on other teams to beat City so that it can come back in your favor. That's not what your fate being in your hands
and
is.
City, we know, have a culture and record of finishing the season so strongly.
Yeah.
Remember back in 2019 when everyone felt Liverpool were going to win the title? It took John Stones 11 millimeters clearance of the ball last ditch. I don't know if anyone will remember when Liverpool went to City to play and everyone felt, oh, it was Liverpool. So City give everything. I also recall how they nearly bottled it against Aston Villa, the same Liverpool, and from nowhere they scored a lot of goals. Coutinho, you know, on the last day. So when you're coming up against a City side, if Arteta sent out a wrong message, I'm going to hammer. If they don't win the title, they'll have to remember that Firmino's equalizer. That hold, that is, yes, that they will, the fans will forever remember that equalizer. If they don't win the title eventually, that equalizer sent was the reason why they didn't win the title. And that Odegaard substitution, he sent out a wrong message. He's the captain, he's a talismanic figure in an environment like Anfield. You don't take off your captain, no matter what the pressure.
All right, don't take off your captain. Good evening, over Dizzle. The league is cities now. They're going to beat Arsenal silly when they meet. Raymond from Aja sent in that message on WhatsApp. Good evening, the wonderful trio. I strongly believe that Arsenal will still win the league, he says. I think Arsenal still has a 70% or more chance of the EPL than Man City. Shola Adjewale from Ifako in Ogba. Regardless of the result yesterday, as a Liverpool fan, I want and pray that Arsenal wins the EPL. Man City will still drop points. Yemi from Ogun State. We'll take a couple of calls and go for a break. Hello.
Hello, Overdose.
Yes.
This is Babariri.
Babariri, welcome. Where are you calling from?
From Ogun State.
All right, Babariri.
You know, yesterday I asked you a question that whether Adeze was still in the studio.
I'm here now.
You remembered.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Yes. Adeze, I beg. I just want to ask you something.
Okay.
Is this the same Adeze although I haven't so. During this encounter series that was always been anchored by Femi or Guy himself and some other Femi and the gang, that's at that time. But you see the same Adeze that I'm listening to now?
Which anchor
Adeze,
series?
I'm asking you this question.
Which anchor series are we talking about?
Encounter. That I think they were encounter. Looking for some stars, you know, to get into this Nigeria info.
Oh, Femi...
You were not around then.
If Overdose was not around then, that means it's not me.
Are you the same Adeze?
No, it's not me.
She's not the one.
It's not me.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
All right, Babari. Thank you so much. Even as we go for another call. Hello? Hello? All right, no one's there. The gremlin's getting to him. Let's go to this one. Hello? Hello? Okay. Sorry about that. Well, maybe it's a signal it's for time. Me to go all the way to WhatsApp. If Arsenal end the season with their guns, killing zero title, but finish second, and United end theirs with two trophies, who will have the better season? That's from Greenish. That's not what we're talking about, but I don't know if Adao Brown wants to answer that question. But let's go to another. Whether you like it or not, Mikel Arteta made a very costly mistake by deciding to tell his players to fall back just at the start of the second half. Reminds me of Guardiola's mistake in the Champions League final against Chelsea, playing without a defensive midfielder. Sometimes managers make mistakes that cost them matches. That was too childish of Arteta.
We have a Skype superior at the moment.
Not by huge amounts.
Good evening to everyone.
Yeah.
In the studio. Brownish. Okay. This is the question we need to ask both Arsenal fans and Man City. For those that said Arsenal still has a chance to win the Champions League, is based on what? Is it based on belief?
Okay. Can you hold on? Because we have to pay the bills now. All right. Of course. While we actually were on a break, we had someone on Skype. Are you still there?
Yeah, already so.
Okay, all right. So, thanks for holding on. I know it's Skype, actually, so yeah, you can hold on.
Yeah, that's fine, no problem.
All right,
yeah.
So you were talking about Mikel Arteta and Arsenal.
Yeah, I was talking about Arsenal Man City. Oh. As in, a lot of Arsenal fans, they are just hoping on faith. It's just like you try to get something and you are praying about it. You understand? I understand the impact of prayer and faith in this issue. But the thing is that your destiny is no longer in your hands. So your destiny has to be controlled by others. So I'm looking at Man City because they have the history, they have the pedigree, and they have the depth and they have the experience. So they seem to have the better chance. So right now, talking about the league title, 60% goes to Man City, 40% goes to Arsenal. Because at this point, every game Arsenal plays, they're going to be pressing the panic button. That's my contribution.
Thank you so much for holding on. And we appreciate you big time. Talking about one of our fans right there, always Skyping for Femi Omotayo from the United States of America. Just by the way, to remind you that our 5G All-Star Train returns this weekend. And yes, I will give you starting tonight. Well, we'll continue to let you in on where we will be having our All-Star Train. And it comes up this weekend. The 5G All-Star Train will return on the 16th. Yes, Sunday the 16th. That's this coming Sunday. And that is the 16th of April, 2023, starting at 1 p.m., all right? In partnership with Scope Markets, the official sleeve supporters of West Ham United. Now, the venue is Plot 8, Block 1, Maimunat Ayodeji Crescent, off Kudirat Abiolawi, Oregu Ikeja. Once again, Plot 8, Block 1, Maimunat Ayodeji Crescent, of Kudirat Abiolawi Orego Ikeja, the Faji All-Star Train. Our fans planning to attend should send the word game on to 091-370-275. If you want to be a part of that All-Star Train this Sunday, 1 p.m., Arsenal West Ham. Talking about the game, you have to send game on to 091-370-275. Again, send game on. That's game, G-A-M-E, space O-N. Send it to 091-370-275. That's 37000. That's why I said 37275. Aside from the on-site commentaries, there also will be predict and win games with fans rewarded with Scope Market merchandise. So, what are you waiting for? Send the word game on to 091-370275. Well, you already know we serve you live football just the way you like it. Barcelona, I did mention, are in action against Girona. Still goalless after 39 minutes. Well, going on 40 minutes of action right there in Spain. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen is the goalkeeper. You have Balde, Garcia, Araujo and Koundé as the defenders for Barcelona. It's Roberto, Busquets and Gavi in a midfield three, while you have Ansu Fati, Robert Lewandowski and Rafinha as the men up front. Already, Castellanos is on a yellow card for Girona, but Gazzaniga is the man in goal. Martinez, Bueno, Lopez and Hernandez are the defenders. Oro Romeo, one-time Chelsea and Southampton player, is right there for Girona. Sykenkov, Martin, Garcia and Villa are the men who are just behind that man, Castellanos. Full name, Tati Castellanos. Talking about the Argentine 24-year-old striker. All right, let's move on. Reading some of your messages on WhatsApp. This one says, good evening, guys. Please help me with the phone number again. And, okay, that's for the Faji All-Star Train. I'll read it out again. Shy Prince, are you listening? So this is the number, 091-370-275, all right? 091-370-275. Just send the word game on to that number if you want to be a part of our All-Star Train this weekend in Ikeja. That's Plot 8, Block 1, Maimunat Ayodeji Crescent off Kudirat Abiola Way, Oregun, Ikeja. Reading your next message, this one says, it's from Balogun Joseph. I love the way Balogun Joseph actually sends his message. Just puts his name and location boldly and then goes ahead with the message. So Balogun Joseph says, the league is in nobody's hands, City or Arsenal. Things happen in football. Off days, injuries, wrong decisions from referees, as well as other twists and turns. Fans of other so-called big teams bending over and backwards to play God and Octopus should remember we all started the league the same week. It is to the shame of all that City will win the fourth league in 6 seasons. All right, he doesn't want Man City to win, obviously an Arsenal fan right there. But Balogun Joseph, thank you for your message. Good evening, Femi and the gang. Each of Arsenal and City have their destiny in their hands. Meanwhile, Arsenal fans, 3,000 naira that Friday promised. I want to nominate Zainab, Adeshawa and Joe Baba to be beneficiaries. Let other people also nominate, and the three best nominees will take 1,000 naira each. Please help us coordinate. Jamie from Alagbadu.
Friday said you'll pay 3,000 naira if Liverpool didn't beat Arsenal.
I honestly don't know about it, to be honest. I don't know. But I think he said over two legs, if Liverpool, you know, if Arsenal beat Liverpool, he will give something. I can't remember. They brought it up once, but that was between Man United and Liverpool. I don't know. Maybe someone should clear the air. Let me go to the phone line. They're already blazing. Hello.
Hello. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening to you.
This Monday, calling from the country.
Monday, welcome.
What you should know that both Arsenal and Man City, they are all in the same game. Hmm. So the game is for anybody.
Okay.
Both people from Man U down to Arsenal.
Mm.
Everybody is free to, because they started the game once.
Mm.
They started the same day. So there's no point of most of those remaining team that they are going to play now. They have played each other before and they passed the hurdle.
Mm.
So I don't see any reason now that anybody should be afraid of maybe Arsenal. And Real Madrid lost their game yesterday. They didn't want to lose.
Okay.
But they lost. Mm. And nobody believes that they can lose to Villarreal.
Yeah, Villarreal.
So why can't Arsenal can do it?
All right.
Man City can do it, I swear.
All right, thank you. Well, Mario actually sending a message, Mario from Gagada, says what Friday said was if Arsenal or Man United win on aggregate over Liverpool, he'll give 3 fans 1K airtime each.
Hmm. He said if Arsenal or Man U
win on aggregate over Liverpool. I think the first leg was 2-0 in favor of Arsenal. My memory serves me right. 2-1. Or was it 3-1? I can't remember. But Arsenal won the first leg and it was a draw the second leg. So, I don't know. But that also puts right into the spotlight our next talking point. Now, the caller who called last actually touched on it, but I will ask the question. Samuel Chukwueze shown like a million stars for the team called Villarreal as they were able to win Real Madrid by 3-2, and that was at the Bernabeu. Now, a whole lot of people might not understand that, but what it means was that he was so good, talking about the man called Samuel Chukwueze, that Villarreal had to say his performance isn't one they would forget in a hurry. That's how good Samuel Chukwueze was, scoring 2 well-taken goals against Thibaut Courtois and against Real Madrid. Yeah, he actually made things happen. Nigeria winger Samuel Chukwueze has expressed his delight after scoring a brace against La Liga champions Real Madrid in the league match played over the weekend at the Estadio Santiago Bernabeu. The 23-year-old is having an excellent season, having scored 11 goals and provided 11 assists across all competitions and powering the side's charge for a UCL spot. Chukwueze has reignited his form under current manager Quique Setién and equally scored against Los Merengues in the Copa del Rey round of 16, and that was in January. Well, he said the Abidjan State born winger was excited to have scored twice at the Bernabeu this season. Following his brilliant run in the season, Chukwueze made the finalist for the La Liga Match Player of the Month award and led his side to a 2-0 victory over Real Sociedad last weekend. Villarreal also took to its official Twitter account to praise the Super Eagles striker for his outstanding performance. And they said, and I quote, we won't ever forget his performance today. Well, Samuel Chukwueze doing well for Villarreal. But then, when he comes to the national team, I don't know why I'm tearing up. When he comes to the national team,
because it's such a sad situation.
Yeah, I don't know. No, but that's not the reason. My eye just
sorry.
It's playing funny. Yeah,
sorry. So might be the AC.
I don't think so. All right. So looking at it right now, not just Samuel Chukwueze, but most of our Nigerian players, they tend to do well for their respective clubs. I mean, look at what Victor Osimhen is doing right there in Napoli. Samuel Chukwueze as well, scoring against Real Madrid. But then these guys come to the national team and they don't put in those kind of performances. Now, I'm really wondering, why do you think that is? Why do you think that a Nigerian player, is it that European football is key, or is it because these clubs play them weekly? So that is why they give so much in terms of, you know, delivering for this club sides. I'll start with you, Adeze Michael. Why is that? Samuel Chukwueze scoring twice against Real Madrid, but then the national team for the Super Eagles, he doesn't put in this kind of performances.
I think there's some things we're not getting. We're not being very practical.
Mm.
As a nation, we're not being very real. Club football is different from national team, yes. And we've seen situations as well where other players in Europe struggle for supremacy and, legitimacy when it comes to the national side.
Mm.
But I think there are several factors. to this. I'll start with the most glaring one, which is not having enough time to train. When you come to the national team, the camp opens on a Friday or Saturday. Sometimes they come in on Sunday and Monday. There's a game on Wednesday.
Yeah.
The coach don't really have time to imbue some of his tactical plans and ideas and philosophy. Let me use that word. And then the players themselves also are not playing with this set of players weekly.
Mm.
But at the club side, these are guys you play with almost every year. You've been together. Chukwueze has been in Spain for over 5 years now. And most of them, Parejo, Pau Torres, most of them to mention but a few, have been his teammate for a longer time. So there's this natural chemistry and understanding as a team. And these are people you practically spend all your life with. And again, the playing tough, we're not going to rule that away. We are not going to rule the playing tough away. It's one of the factors why our players cannot replicate their form. It's not really an excuse, it's a reality. I remember we used to have a very original tough, when I mean original tough, in Nigeria, the Liberty Stadium in the 90s, mid-90s, 1995 in Ibadan, and the UJS Wenner Stadium, they were original pitch, grass level that tourists and students used to travel from all over the world to come
Alex,
and watch.
Alex, Wobi also made mention of the pitch too.
Yeah. I'm getting somewhere.
Okay.
Liberty Stadium in the 90s, maybe we put in so much energy in that stadium because we wanted to host the World Youth Championship back in the day.
Mm.
But you could see the commitment level to maintain the lush green turf, and then the one we have in Calabar. But because of poor maintenance, bad administration, these days we find ourselves playing in Abuja. For you to make Abuja a place where fans can come out to play, and where footballers can enjoy themselves, you have to make the playing tough very good. Mm. And that is by employing capable hands, foreign companies, or that can just look at the stadium and refurbish it completely. Apart from that, what kind of players are we inviting? We invite players based on performance. We're not inviting players based on when they come in. We don't really educate them on the philosophy of Nigeria's kind of football. We've got culture.
Mm.
We've got identity. We've got foundation when it comes to Nigeria's football. But we just invite these players. Oh, Mr. A, he's scored 5 goals in the last 2 games. He's a different kettle of fish entirely. Apart from the commitment level, there has to be hunger from the players themselves. There has to be togetherness. There has to be that teamwork. Chukwueze is a brilliant player. He's on his own.
Hmm.
Lukman is a brilliant player. He's on his own. Victor Osimhen is a brilliant player. They're all individuals. How can we make them as a team? There's no time. The time is short. And again, not enough money to motivate them. They've been owed match bonuses here and there. You will say, a lot of persons will say, oh, they're millionaires. Money, no. Even Lee Wayne said, too much money is not even enough money.
Hmm.
Everybody needs motivation. You and I, we need motivation.
Are you listening to Lee Wayne now?
I listen to a lot of rap songs.
Oh, okay.
I listen to a lot of rap songs. Right. Lewis said, too much money is not enough. So everyone needs motivation. So when we're inviting players, we have to invite players that their playing style, philosophy suits with what we have. Do we even have an identity now? It's complicated. So it's easy to get carried away. Why are they not doing well? Why are they doing well and they cannot do that? In the national team setup, a lot of factors hinder them. And then the players will have to take small part of the blame, which is that hunger to perform in the green shirt, that passion, the desire, the togetherness, the fighting spirit. Where is it? But other than that, administrators have the bulk of the blame. They have the bulk of the blame, which is providing an enabling environment. I was talking with Emmanuel Amunike on the interview the other day, and he said when we have these players, we should appreciate them and help them to play football. In their club side, they play under the floodlights in a cool evening weather, but in Nigeria, we tell them to come and play under the sun by 4 p.m. How do you expect them to perform? So it's quite a lot. And the playing turf over there in Europe is way, way better. Apart from the Liberty Stadium back in the 90s and UJS Wenner Stadium. And the only stadium we have now that is good, natural grass, is in the one in Uyo.
Mm.
The rest of them are a joke. So we need to start from there, first of all. It's not an excuse. The players themselves have a part to play and a role to play. But let's not always get carried away by what these players are doing in their club side, because they have almost everything to thrive over there. But here in Nigeria, we just give them something little and expect them to work magic.
Well, give them something little and expect them to perform magic. I don't think Brown has quite enough time because very soon we'll go for a short break. Mr. Ma is around. Maybe we'll actually bring this topic another day because it's a topic I really want us to look at. And it pains me to see that our Nigerian players actually do well, you know, so well for their clubs. But when they come to the national team and we expect them to replicate such performances, they tend to struggle. And I'm wondering why. Well, Overdose, this one says, the reasons are very easy. First, the matches come one in a while. Without enough time to train together and blend. Two, Nigeria's problematic coaching issues and insecure feeling from the guys. We've seen it lots of times.
The kitchen, Nigeria.
Okay. See, and Sports Station. This is Nigeria Info.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, of course, that's how we're going to wrap all that game on, like I said, and it's going to be a wonderful experience. Stopping time with Mr. Ma comes up next, and Brown is still here, Adiz is gone, and I'll be taking my leave. But you can catch me on social media at Overdizzle, OVADIZZLE. On Instagram, it's at I Am Overdose, and let's continue the conversation there. I'll also bring back this conversation due to lack of time, but then again, it's stopping time. La Liga, yeah, enjoy.